Chris Young's top 10 tips for great mental health this Christmas. Number one, first and foremost, be lucky. Be very, very lucky. This will all become clearer as I go. Number two, do not be the victim of childhood sexual abuse. Number three, do not be a victim of homelessness. Number four, do not be a victim of neglect and invalidation. Number five, do not be a victim of poverty, including food insecurity. Number six, do not be a victim of childhood bereavement. Number seven, do not be a victim of bullying. Number eight, do not be a victim of domestic violence. Number nine, do not be different in any way. Number 10, do not be genetically predisposed to any mental malady. 11. 11? I thought you said, yeah, I know, I lied. Do you really think you'd be reading this if I'd called it Chris Young's Top 13 Tips? Get over yourself. Don't even consider having any kind of physical disability. There are more, many more. Yes, I know number 9 does a lot of heavy lifting here. Just to clarify, don't be anything that deviates from being a white, British, heterosexual male with a history you can trace back to 1066, preferably before. Don't even get me started on toxic masculinity, the dark cloud that hangs over many of the points above. I don't know you. I'm sure you're really lovely, filled with the best intentions when you shared your infinitely more chipper top 10 tips to ensure my mental well-being across the million or so social media platforms you found yourself allied to. Top 10 tips that I'm always astonished seem to exclude go and have a wank, but always seem to embrace talking about your feelings, taking a break, keeping active, eating healthily, drinking sensibly, doing something you're good at, accepting who you are, being in the moment and helping others. I could argue that good old masturbation, depending on how focused you are, knocks a few of these right out the park. Seriously though, what's really going through your mind as you press share on this happy clappy, self-serving, victim-blaming nonsense? Whose life are you improving? Certainly not mine. Let's start with, it's good to talk. Who do you talk to? We all know that when we ask someone, how are you? We actually mean hello. And the last thing we on earth we want to hear about is their emotional gubbins. We feel ill-equipped. What are you supposed to say when they offer up some devastating loss in their lives, whether it be unemployment, poor health, or family bereavement? So what exactly did you mean when you screamed out, it's okay not to be okay, to the internet? Oh, I see. You meant talk to a professional. That's great if you've got the money for it. Counselling or therapy can cost anything between £50 to £200 or more per hour. What if you don't have that? What if you're in a position where heating your home or having a meal are competing interests? You might be the victim of homelessness, of abuse, of sexual, physical and domestic violence. Where do you imagine you're going to conjure up this extra £200 a month from? Surely the NHS, with waiting lists of up to 4 years for talking therapies. I wouldn't be holding my breath. What about disability benefits? Don't they pay for? The disability benefit system in the UK is positively Orwellian, especially for people with mental ill health. The forms provided by the Department for Work and Pensions happily declare right at the outset that it's the claimant's responsibility to provide the the evidence for any malady they may have. The arduous task of describing the mental and or physical disabilities you may have requires a mental agility that you're saying you lack to make you eligible to receive these benefits. It out catch-22s, catch-22. Since there are no professionals providing you with the psychological input you so desperately need, remember the 4-year waiting list? There's nobody to provide the oh-so-valuable letters of support to improve your chances of receiving the benefit. So, to be clear, I'm saying you need letters from professionals you don't have to demonstrate you need to get support from and or pay for the professionals you don't have. What about GPs? Surely they can provide. In this incredibly unregulated environment, vulnerable people with disabilities in financial crisis are being asked to pay their family doctors anything between £10 and £200 for letters to support their claims that may or may not guarantee an award of disability benefits. When I was a social worker in an Edinburgh hospital, I managed to get doctors to provide this service free of charge. But I was a creepy sycophant back then, and that was a long time ago. How things have changed. Keeping mentally well in the UK today is incredibly expensive. Keep physically fit, you say. Gym memberships not free, making it inaccessible to millions. Just go out for a walk. For many, the price of outdoor clothing, including footwear, is prohibitively costly. And that's before you even consider the out-of-reach world of the great outdoors, where mental health conditions like agoraphobia are often compounded by the threat of prejudice and physical harm due to misogyny, racism, ableism, transgenderism, and any other not-like-me-ism you care to mention. Eat healthily. Last year's Broken Plate report by the Food Foundation reported that healthy food costs around three times as much as its unhealthy, less nutritious counterpart. If you're in poverty, there's really no choice. Perhaps even more damaging than the cultish desire to throw unsolicited top 10 tips at folk, there are even top 10 lists of top 10 lists, is the creeping cancer of belief that mindfulness is the cure-all, the panacea for all that ails us mentally. Have a bath. Stay present. Be in the moment. What happens if the moment you're trying to stay present in is diabolically awful? Are you one of the 1.6 million women who've been the victims of domestic abuse in the last year? Or one of the 4.3 million children living in poverty? Or do you live in one of the 219,000 homeless households in the UK? Or are you one of the 124,000 people who've reported a hate crime against you on the grounds of race, sexual orientation, disability, religion, or transgenderism in England and Wales since the start of the pandemic? And remember, we don't even count the untold thousands of instances of misogyny across the UK as hate crimes. Why? I'm sure your guess is every bit as good as mine. The mindfulness act of staying in the moment in instances just like these. You're taking the piss, aren't you? 12. Don't suffer any of the myriad of negative effects, both physical and psychological, caused by the medications prescribed to make you mentally well. Number 13. Don't be harmed or invalidated by the very services charged with your care. Iatrogenic harm is the term given to the physical and psychological damage caused by the very treatment that the patient was told would benefit them. Friendly fire, if you will. As I sit here banging away at my keyboard, I'm enjoying the sugary blood of type 2 diabetes that was probably brought on by a lifetime of psych meds, including antidepressants and more recently, 14 years worth of antipsychotics. I talk a great deal more about this elsewhere, but to summarise, prescribing clinicians have a duty to highlight the potential undesirable risks of treatments to patients, a duty they don't always adhere to. Last and certainly not least, you'd think psychological services would universally provide a nurturing environment for their mentally vulnerable patients, wouldn't you? Sadly, this is not always the case. I'm sure many of you who dipped your hands in your pockets for the annual charity fest that is Children in Need this year would be gutted to hear that many of the young folk you'd helped with your donations grow up into adults who are pilloried and discriminated against by the services we were told would help them. Many adults who experience invalidation, poverty, homelessness, physical and sexual abuse in childhood are given the label of personality disorder that, shockingly, is often accompanied by prejudice from many of the professionals who are supposed to look after them. symptoms such as self-harm, suicidal ideation, difficulty in trusting others and dissociation, that are all normal responses to the abnormal circumstances of their childhood, are often deemed as manipulative, attention-seeking, dishonest, and incurable by many staff. What's probably worse is that many professionals who don't behave in this prejudicial way do absolutely nothing to challenge the perpetrators who are just perpetuating the cycle of abuse experienced through the lives of these vulnerable people. Iatrogenic harm isn't just limited to this group. The lack of appropriate therapies, the effects of medications, of coercion, of threats of incarceration, including imprisonment, massive cuts to services, including the loss of 7,000 mental health nurses since 2010, and the huge turnover of staff means that the therapeutic input that people receive lacks continuity and cohesion in an environment where good relationships are key, all combined to devastate the lives of thousands. So, in short, to summarise and conclude, mental health services are at a crisis point in the UK. While many of the causes of mental ill health, poverty, homelessness, food insecurity, prejudice and hate crimes are galloping unchecked and out of hand across this fair country of ours, no amount of mindfulness or positive thinking is going to make a difference until we break down the institutional divisions and inequalities inherent in this chronically underfunded system. Merry Christmas to you and yours, and a Happy New Year when it comes.